I'll praise you to Allah and may Allah's peace and blessings be on His last Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and on all those who follow the path of righteousness until the last day. Today, the Imam was presenting the topic of commanding the good and prohibiting evil. In Arabic, it is known as Al-Amr bil-Ma'ruf wal-Nahy anil-Munkar. And he began, you know, with a verse wherein Allah says that we should, you know, fear a punishment which would not afflict merely those who are sinful, that would cover everybody. And sometimes Allah punishes individuals, and sometimes the community is punished. So this is, you know, it's implying, it's talking about the situation where people are committing sins in a community and nobody speaks out against these sins or tries to stop them. And there are many examples given in the Quran concerning, especially the Jews, you know, about how the rabbis among them who knew the sins that the people were committing would not speak out. And so Allah punished all of them. And of course, whenever Allah gives some example concerning the Jews, I mean, it has two aspects to it. It has the aspect where it is letting us know some of the qualities of the Jews so that we, you know, be aware of them. We are careful of, you know, of their treachery. But at the same time, it's a warning for us that we don't fall into the same characteristics, into the same, you know, errors that they have fallen into. And he quoted, of course, the hadith of Prophet ﷺ, you know, wherein he said, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه, that, you know, none of you truly believe until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. And, you know, like, this should be the motivating force. He mentioned this hadith as like the motivating force for commanding the good and prohibiting the evil, because the same way that we, you know, see certain things that we consider good for ourselves, to protect ourselves, to earn for ourselves reward in the next life, etc. These things that we see important and good for ourselves, we should also, we should also wish for others, for our brother Muslims. So it becomes a duty for us to call others to what we recognize as good and righteousness in society, for ourselves, for society, as well as to prohibit them from things that we recognize are harmful for ourselves, as well as the society. He went on quoting another verse, you know, from the Quran, wherein Luqman is advising his son, you know, to command the good and prohibit the evil, and to be patient. وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ, you know, that he should be patient about whatever afflicts him when trying to command the good and prohibit evil, because the process of commanding the good and prohibiting evil is not an easy process, because the forces of evil in the society are great. It means that they will turn against the individual, they will try to harm him in different ways. It may be in just speech, the person, you know, speaks to you badly, or ignoring you, try to make you feel bad, or slamming a door in your face, or, you know, it can come in many different ways. But, I mean, these forces will try to repel, to stop the efforts that you're making. So, as Luqman advised his son, we have to be patient with whatever we find ourselves in while commanding the good and prohibiting evil, you know, and as Allah goes on to say, إِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ, and that, you know, that is one, you know, of the great عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ, you know, what did I say? عَزِيمًا, you know, yeah.
It shows, you know, the five of Ulul Azm, like,
you know, how to express that in the English expression. You know, yeah, you know, it is an expression of of steadfastness and resolve and in affairs. You know. But it's one of the best expressions of it. He also pointed out that, you know, we shouldn't have regrets in what we're doing, we shouldn't give up, feel the situation is hopeless, you know, in the process, because of course, you know, so many people likely to reject what you're saying or ignore what you're saying, and it's very easy for you to feel is the point, you know, and to give up trying to call these people. And he quoted again, of course, another verse of the Quran where Allah says, "Ma ala rasuli illa al-dalal," you know, that there's nothing required of the Prophet or the Messenger beyond conveying the message. I mean, that was the principle for Prophet Muhammad, wherein Allah was saying that to him because of the sadness that he felt when his people rejected his message. So Allah is saying that to him to build up his own strength, spiritual resolve. At the same time, that is advice to us, that we will find ourselves, because we become like the guardians of the message after the Prophet Muhammad. And we are carrying out the duty that he did, I mean, without, of course, the reception of revelation. We're carrying on that duty. He said, "Nubalighu anni walau ayah," and this is our duty, that we should convey, even if it is only one verse from the Quran that we have gained from the Prophet Muhammad, we should convey that to others. So our duty is, as messengers in that sense, to carry the message of Islam to the rest of mankind. And we will face what the Prophet Muhammad faced, maybe not on the same scale, but we will face a version of it. And so this advice is also there for us, that our duty is to convey the message. How people respond to it is not our responsibility. But of course, the way in which the message is conveyed is critical to some degree in terms of whether people will accept the message or not. Because you may have the truth, the best advice, but the way in which you give it is so gross that people don't want to hear it. Right? This is why, you know, elsewhere Allah said, you know, "Udhu ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati wal maw'izati al hasana." This is related to the same thing. We should call to the path of our Lord with hikmah, wisely, wal maw'izati al hasana, and with good speech, good preaching, a good, you know, good way in which we convey it. So we have to do it wisely, meaning that there are times, I mean, you may want to, you know, command the good, but commanding the good in a group sometimes may be evil. It'd be better to take the person aside and tell the person on the side, you know, this is not really right, you know, you shouldn't really do this, or rather than telling in the group, because in the group that person now, his ego is hurt, he's insulted, he's going to react, and, you know, of course. So this is part of the hikmah. You know, as they say, لِكُلِّ مَقَامٍ مَقَالٍ, in Arabic, they say that, you know, every context or every situation has an appropriate thing to be said. I mean, there's a time, and we say there's a time and a place for everything, right? It's the correct time, correct place. So in the process of commanding the good and prohibiting evil, we have to do that wisely, so that we provide, you know, whatever we can to make that message as acceptable to others as possible. And of course, he pointed out that this duty, the duty of calling to the good and prohibiting evil, is not one of particular individuals. It is for everyone. Every Muslim is required to do it to some degree. The degrees will vary based on abilities. You know, it could be children, it could be grown-ups. You know, it could be people, you know, who are in a position of authority, or people who are not. We should never feel that this job is only the duty of those people in authority, or those people, you know, who are controlling the situation. No, this is the duty of every single person. Of course, it is to different degrees. Now, as the Prophet Muhammad said, and he quoted, the Imam quoted, "مَنْ رَأَى مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا فَلْيُغَيْرُ بِيَدِهِ," whoever among you sees an evil should change it with his hands. "وَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِلِسَانِهِ," and if he can, then with his tongue he should speak out against it. And "وَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِقَلْبِهِ," and if he's not able to do even that, then he should hate it in his heart. وَذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ, and that is the lowest level of faith. This is to say that One who is in a position of authority, who can change the situation with his hand, he is obliged to change it with his hand. It is not acceptable if he is not considered clear of responsibility. If he is in a position to change it with his hand and he only speaks out against it. Speaking out against it is only acceptable for those who are unable to stop it with their hand. And similarly, speaking out against it is for those are hating it in the heart, is for those who are unable to speak out against it. If one is in a position to say something, then something should be said. It's not accepted that a person just hates a thing in the heart when he can say something against it. If he hates it in his heart when he should be saying something against it, that's considered the lowest level of iman. Hating it in the heart may be the highest level of iman if the person has no other choice but to hate it in the heart. I mean, if that is what the circumstance, that's the only opportunity that a person has. A person is in jail, for example, you know, chained up on the walls in a jail, in a situation of oppression. His saying anything will not be heard, and he definitely can do nothing. Then his hating the evil that is taking place in that situation is the most that he can do. That's not considered the weakest level of iman in this case. That is in the case of those who are able to say something and to do something. For them to hate it in their hearts alone and not say or do, then that is not considered appropriate. And as such is considered of the lowest levels of iman. But of course the hatred in one's heart has to be there even when one is prohibiting it with the hand or speaking out against it. Because if one is changing a situation with the hand, but they don't really hate it in their heart, then this change is not a real change that they will be rewarded for by Allah.
And yes,
this is just for show. You know, just to placate some segment of the society, you know, because you're the religious segment of the society that's opposed to this. So this individual, because he wants to get in good favor with this wing, you know, and keep them in his support, he will make some change here, right? But his intent is not, he doesn't hate it, he likes this thing, actually. But he is just doing it to keep those people happy. So this, again, there's no reward for that, even though it's changing with his hand. Similarly, the person speaks out against it. And of course, you know, there's one hadith where Prophet ﷺ has said that, you know, the greatest martyr, you know, is one who speaks the word of truth, you know, to a evil tyrant, right? You know, it's him who is speaking out. The Imam made we mentioned, of course, the issue of, you know, ta'awun, that is cooperation in prohibiting the good and the evil. And this is something that wherever we're able to cooperate, we should try to do it together. I mean, there's something responsibility, social responsibility, community responsibility, responsibility of the society, that, and everybody should feel that. And this should be part of the education. Everybody should feel a personal responsibility. Because when there is no personal responsibility, then you have a situation, as you have, for example, in the States, where people may be, you know, killed, raped, you know, robbed on the streets, and people just keep walking by. You know, nobody wants to get involved. You know, in a bar, in one corner of a bar, somebody's beaten to death, the others are sitting there, you know, they don't want to get involved, right in front of their feet. Nobody wants to get involved. They don't feel that responsibility. They fear getting involved and getting hurt. You know? Whereas, from an Islamic point of view, you know, children, of course, should be encouraged to prohibit the evil and command the good from their young. It should be a part of their nature. They grew up with that kind of feeling. You know? Where in the West, you know, if a son says to a father, you know, "Dad, you shouldn't be smoking," I mean, he's liable to get his head knocked off. Right? Whereas in the Islamic societies, he is encouraged to say that. If he sees his parents doing something wrong, he's encouraged to tell him. So if you're, you know, your child should be brought up in that way, so the child is open in that sense. If they see something that they feel is wrong, it may not actually be wrong, but they think it's wrong, they should tell you about it. Of course, it is a way for it to be told, right? But they should tell you about it. And you should encourage them to tell you about it. So that, because you're human, and there's going to be times when you're going to slip, and you might fall into some error. And if you have not trained your children in telling you, you know, then what you are going to do is you're going to become an example for them. If they're not trained and encouraged to prohibit or speak out against things which are wrong, then you're training them to follow you in whatever you do. This is what you're training to do. And you don't want that. You don't want your children to blindly follow your own actions. Because for sure, you're liable to be making some errors. So you have to encourage them to speak out against what you're wrong. Yeah, you have to practice, but I'm just saying, you have to give them, for them to understand that you are human. You can make a mistake. So they should tell you. This is how they should feel, you know, that, Dad made a mistake. So, you know, they shouldn't feel shy to tell you. Because when they grow up with that kind of feeling, you see, then they will be constantly looking out for what is good, for themselves as well as for others. And this is a natural state. This is, you could say, part of the natural state of the believer, that he is, you know, constantly opposed to evil and commanding that which is good. Alhamdulillah. And the Imam gave a kind of, you know, example just to help to bring the idea home, you know, from a physical point of view. That, you know, when we feel that anyone in our house is sick, physically, child is sick, whatever, you know, we are ready to rush with the child to the doctor to get it treated. You know, we want to get that sickness taken care of. But the spiritual sicknesses are no different. We should have the same drive that we want to cure the sickness the same way that, you know, if we have a physical sickness in the home, we want to treat it. Right? And the spiritual sicknesses are even greater. I mean, the danger and the harm which comes from them are much greater than the physical sicknesses. So, you know, he just mentioned that to say that, you know, we should not separate the two. We have both the spiritual and physical side, and the same way we're concerned about the physical side, we should also be concerned about the spiritual side. And the same way that when we see physical sicknesses, we try to seek to find out what are the reasons, what are the causes. You know, it's not only that we just go and treat it, get medicine for it, but we try to find out why this happened so that we can stop it from happening again. The same way we should approach the spiritual sicknesses. If we see a spiritual sickness, we don't only try to stop it, but we should try to seek what are the reasons, what are the causes which led to this spiritual, you know, sickness, this evil, and try to then handle the causes, because this is the way you stop things, you know, ultimately. It's not enough, for example, you cut off the hand of the thief, you know, you chop off the head of the, you know, the murderer. If there are factors in the society which are promoting this, you know, for example, drugs or whatever, then you have to go to these sources and try to stop these sources, which are creating the corruption and so on in the society. He also quoted a hadith of Prophet Sallam, you know, which relates also to this topic, and it was of a group of people who are in a boat. You know, some on the top and some in the bottom of the boat, right? And the people in the bottom were offended by the people in the top. And they decided they wanted to get some water to drink, and they didn't want to ask the people in the top. So they decided to chop a hole in the bottom of the boat to get some water. Now, one person from among them, you know,